Polly lay in the dark, on a bed of musty straw. There was no question of anyone getting undressed. The rain hammered on the roof and the wind blew through a crack under the door, despite Igor's efforts to stuff it with straw. There was some desultory conversation, during which Polly found out that she was sharing the dank shed with Tonka Halter, Shufty Manacle, Wazza Goom, and Lofty Toot. Maledict and Igor didn't seem to have acquired repeatable nicknames. She'd become Ozza by general agreement. Slightly to Polly's surprise, the boy now known as Wazza had taken a small picture of the Duchess out of his pack and nervously hung it on an old nail. No one else said anything as he prayed to it. It was what you were supposed to do. They said the Duchess was dead. Polly had been washing up when she'd heard the men talking late one night, and it's a poor woman who can't eavesdrop while making a noise at the same time. Dead, they said, but the people up at Prince Marmaduke Piotr Albert Hans Josef Bernhard Wilhelmsburg weren't admitting it. That was 'cause what with there being no children, and with royalty marrying one another's cousins and grannies all the time, the ducal throne would go to the Prince Heinrich of Slovenia. There, can you believe it? That's why we never see her, right? And there hasn't been a new picture all these years. Makes you think, eh? Oh, they say she's been in mourning 'cause of the young duke, but that was more than 70 years ago. They say she was buried in secret and... At which point her father had stopped the speaker dead. There are some conversations where you don't even want people to remember you were in the same room. Dead or alive, the Duchess watched over you. The recruits tried to sleep. Occasionally someone belched or expelled wind noisily, and Polly responded with a few fake eructations of her own. That seemed to inspire greater effort on the part of the other sleepers, to the point where the roof rattled and dust fell down, before everyone subsided. Once or twice she heard people stagger out into the windy darkness, in theory for the privy, but probably, given male impatience in these matters, to aim much closer to home. Once, coasting in and out of a troubled dream, she thought she heard someone sobbing. Taking care not to rustle too much, Polly pulled out the much-folded, much-read, much-stained last letter from her brother, and read it by the light of the solitary, guttering candle. It had been opened and heavily mangled by the censors, and bore the stamp of the duchy. It read, "Dear all, we are in blank, which is blank with a blank big thing with knobs. On blank, we with blank, which is just as well because blank out of. I am keeping well. The food is blank. Blank will blank at the blank. But my mate, Blanker, says not to worry, it'll all be over by blank, and we shall all have medals. Chins up, Paul." It was in a careful hand, the excessively clear and well-shaped writing of someone who had to think about every letter. She folded it up again. Paul had wanted medals because they were shiny. That had been almost a year ago, when any recruiting party that came past went away with the best part of a battalion, and there had been people waving them off with flags and music. Sometimes, now, smaller parties of men came back. The lucky ones were missing only one arm or one leg. There were no flags. She unfolded the other piece of paper. It was a pamphlet. It was headed, "From the Mothers of Borogravia." The Mothers of Borogravia were very definite about wanting to send their sons off to war against the Slovenian aggressor, and used a great many exclamation points to say so. And this was odd, because the mothers in the town had not seemed keen on the idea of their sons going off to war, and positively tried to drag them back. Several copies of the pamphlet seemed to have reached every home even so. It was very patriotic. That is, it talked about killing foreigners. She'd learned to read and write after a fashion because the inn was big and it was a business and things had to be tallied and recorded. Her mother had taught her to read, which was acceptable to Nuggan, and her father made sure that she learned how to write, which was not. A woman who could write was an abomination unto Nuggan, according to Father Jupe. Anything she wrote would by definition be a lie. But Polly had learned anyway because Paul hadn't, at least to the standard needed to run an inn as busy as the Duchess. He could read, if he could run his finger slowly along the lines, and he could write letters painfully, with a lot of care and heavy breathing, like a man assembling a piece of jewellery.